This morning, we'll be reading one verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and then Psalms 119, 109. Then I have other scriptures to share with you. But thinking about our lives and how God created everything perfectly. Everything God created is in balance, isn't it? Is your life always in balance? It gets out of balance sometimes, doesn't it? Just like wheels on a car. Do you drive a car that's out of balance, like on a trip, a long trip? You tolerate that? Not likely, are we? We're going to get that fixed because we don't want to be going down the road bouncing, swirling, all of those things. So it's good. It's kind of like the five senses of balance. We have five senses. So the five senses of balance this morning I want to share with you. So begin with verse, here we go. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. How many of you believe that? There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. That is true. And that's why we need to keep a balance in our life, so we'll be on schedule, God's time and His schedule. And then in Psalms 119, 109, the psalmist says, and this is a New Living Translation because it kind of takes it down into simpler terms so we can better understand. But the psalmist says, my life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. Now, God desires that we live balanced lives. Amen? And as I was saying a while ago, all of the world God created is in perfect balance. And all of the world is based on this principle. And the world of nature is perfectly balanced. The earth is, if you ever, you've studied science and all of those things, the earth is slightly tilted for a reason. God designed it that way. If we were too close to the sun, we would what? Burn up. If we were too far away from the sun, we would freeze. So God put it where that we enjoy the four seasons. We might not always like them because it still gets cold and it still gets hot. But we're not fried, right? If we get too close to the sun or too far away. So, the only global warming, you know, they always talk about global warming. I don't know much about that because I didn't never study that. We didn't do that down at the Space Center. We worried about other stuff besides global warming. But the only global warming to worry about is when fire and brimstone begin to fall from the sky. Of course, we're not going to be here. The church is not going to be here. But those who remain have something to be concerned about. Until then, the world is in balance. God promises that. So in nature, the ecologists, they study ecosystems where the food chain and the checks and the balance and the nature take care of each other. That's how God has designed it. Now, in our bodies, doctors say when you get sick, it is an imbalance in your body. Any of you been sick this week? Yeah, there's an imbalance in your body. When there's an imbalance, you go to the doctor, and he loads you up with medicine, right? Sometimes that's not always the best thing I found. I stay away from medicine as much as possible. But health comes when your body is restored to balance. And the red and the white corpuscles are balanced and your hormones are balanced. Well, not always, are they? We can't always say that. But although your life is everything that we look at, it's focused towards equilibrium. Now, how many of your equilibrium is always okay? When you get sinus or headaches and stuff, it gets off a little bit, doesn't it? I know mine does. And God wants our personal lives to be in balance. So there's five things this morning I want us to look at. And, well, 1 Corinthians says, "For God is not the author of confusion or disorder, but of peace." And we know that He is not the author of confusion or disorder in life. So there are five areas of your personal life that you need to keep in balance. And I don't know how often you think about these five areas, but they need to keep in balance. And we're going to talk about these and your personal life, and it's because it gets out of balance and it affects everything else in your life. So first of all, we want to look at, we need to have mental balance. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world." Okay, that's a mental balance. It says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So that's a mental thing, isn't it? But too often, whatever winds up in our mind comes out, doesn't it? Kind of whatever you put in a computer, they say, usually comes out. So we have to renew our minds daily. And it says, or don't let the world squeeze you in its mold. Basically, that's what this scripture is talking about. So, what are you transformed by? Is it your own willpower that transforms your mind or transforms your will? No, it isn't. Is it by working real hard? That's not it either. Is it by renewing your mind? That's what it is, isn't it? That's what the scripture says, by renewing your mind. And what you think about affects your life, and you need mental balance. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So the scripture says we need balance. We need that mental balance in our lives by renewing our minds, thinking like Christ, thinking on the things that will help us mentally to think clearly. And when we think clearly, we function much better, don't we? And God wants us to function clearly. And He wants us to be healthy in our mental state. And when we are, we have that part of our life in balance. So, how do you have balance? You balance by screening the things that come into your mind. So whatever comes in your mind on a daily basis, you have to screen it. You have to test. You got to look at it and see, is this healthy for me? Is this going to help me to perform? Or is this going to be helpful for me to be able to be God's witness and act right in my witness and my conduct and my behavior? Is it going to be according to what God wants for my life as a Christian? See, you don't just allow anything to come into your thought and life, because it can corrupt you. You maintain balance by choosing what you're going to think about. Jesus said, when you know the truth, see, the truth will set you free. That's John 8:36. If you know the truth will set you free. What we know about Jesus Christ is the truth. His truth, the Word of God, provides salvation in our life. And not only that, it gives us instructions, as we read a while ago. Like Psalms 119, 109 says, my life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. So that's why Jesus says here, when you know the truth will set you free then, along with salvation and anything else mentally that comes into our mind. Now, freedom comes by having the right kind of thoughts. See? Freedom. And it feels good to have freedom in Christ. It sets you free. Freedom comes by having the right kind of thoughts, true thoughts. And then when you have true thoughts, you have a mental balance. And that's what God wants. Okay, next, we need to have physical balance. Everybody exercises, right? Everybody's in shape. I can't always say that myself. You know, I can talk to you about it and tell you how it's done and everything, but do we always follow through and do all of those things we need to do? You know, the Bible speaks about that, you know. The Lord wants us to take care of ourselves. Because look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, which says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? So, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives where? In here, if we are a Christian. The Holy Spirit lives here. That's the only perfect thing about you. Do you know that? Everything else is all messed up because it's flesh. It's of the world. But he saves us. We're saved sinners. But ye have of God, and ye not know your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. So, that's saying we need what? Physical balance in our life. When we don't take care of our bodies, it affects everything else. How many of you have had back problems? You have, haven't you? Did it affect anything else about you? All you want to do is lay down and not move because you hurt so bad. Or it could be in any part, but if you get your back out, you're out, right? Pretty much so. So it affects everything about you. You know, you have to ask yourself, am I constantly complaining about being tired? And I hear that a lot. Because I ask people, how you doing today? Oh, I'm tired. Well, that's better than being tarred, isn't it? In Tennessee, it's tarred. Up here, it's tired. But both of them can be pretty bad. So I'm so tired. I'm sick and tired of, well, it's tired of being sick, right? Sick of, and see, there's a way out. You maintain physical balance. And the Lord will help you and give you that strength in those areas. But we need to mentally check our state. So our physical bodies also will maintain physical balance. I was reading one of the Peanut cartoons, and Lucy was playing baseball, and Charlie Brown he's out on the pitching mound, and he was pitching. He threw a strike ball, and it was hit, and it went out in the outfield, and Lucy was looking up, and she watched the ball, and then she started running backwards, and it fell behind her. And she told Charlie, she said, I'm sorry, Charlie, I missed that ball. My mind and my body wasn't working together. And Charlie said, that's okay. My body just doesn't seem to want to do anything what my brain tells it to do. Then he says, I can't understand that. My body and my brain haven't spoken to each other for years. Some of you may haven't spoken to each other for years, right? Husband, wife, do you ever get in that state? But your body, you see how your body works? Your brain walks. Your brain wants to work sometimes, but your body doesn't react to that. So it's important to know that our bodies are a temple of God, and we need to take care of it. A man said, if I knew I was going to live to be 105, I would have taken better care of myself. So we got to take care of ourselves physically, mentally. Also, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to have spiritual balance, and that's very important in our lives. You see, that's part of your personal life, because in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are two things to grow as a Christian. First of all, the Scripture says you are to grow in grace, and you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, you have an intellectual growth. You have to know the content of the Bible. So the Bible said, read to show thyself approved. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. So you rightly divide the word of truth. So when the opportunity comes, or when you need the knowledge to pass on to someone else in need, spiritually, physically, whatever one of these balances are out of character in a person's life, we know it had to have the knowledge of the Word of God. See, God extends grace to us. It's undeserved favor to us that God provides grace to us. If it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't be here today, would we? It's by God's grace that He offers salvation to each one of us. And sometimes, and that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, shall I go on sinning so more grace will abound to me? Then he said, heavens bid, why would I even think about that? No way would I think that I need to sin more so more grace. Or I need to stretch out my privileges of God that who's so freely extends His grace to me. So grace is very important, and God provides that, but we need the knowledge and then grow intellectually to the Bible so you know the content of the Bible. You also got a growing grace that's cultivating the intimate relationship. It's enjoying God in our life. It's inviting Him to be a part of our life, because He extends grace and He gives us His Word of God in order for us to take it in and feed upon it, in order that we might cultivate our lives as we go along in life and enjoying God. See, a lot of people grow in knowledge. A lot of people soak it up in knowledge. They know about God. They know about the books of the Bible. They memorize Scripture. They know who Nebuchadnezzar is. Anybody know who Nebuchadnezzar was? Yeah. They know that an epistle is not the wife of the apostle, right? You know that. Noah's wife was not Joan of Arc. And they know the facts that they don't grow in peace. That's it. People don't always know that they can grow in grace. See, you've got to have a balance in your spiritual life. See, the Greek word use of grace is charis. I used that Friday. And grace, that's what that means. It's a wonderful word that God uses towards us. And some people, like Grace Everidge, was named Grace. But it's that charis. It's that draw. It's that nature of God that is so freely giving to our lives. And that's why He has given us His Word. See, the Greek word charis for God, unmerited gift of salvation. It's undeserved, acceptable, and love received from God. What a wonderful way for us to know that we can grow spiritually in Christ. Well, there's a fourth thing. We need to have emotional balance. Galatians chapter 5, which I refer to quite often because I like to read these because it tells me whether or not emotionally if I'm in balance with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, verse 22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and temperance, which is self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. See, here we have the picture of a perfect emotional balanced person. And when I think of an emotional balanced person, it was Jesus Christ. He was balanced in every one of these areas. And these are great traits for Christians. If we could find a, you know, I've heard people say, if I can just get one of them right, I'm happy. Well, there's nine here that we need to work on, don't we? Emotionally, to keep intact so our life will be in balance. The more in balance we are, the more that God can use us and bless us in our life. See, when you're emotionally stable, you're not blown away by crisis, are you? By circumstances, by hardships that come in our life, because emotionally, we feed on that sometime, and we forget about the spiritual aspect of our life and the convictions. Instead of living on emotions, the Lord wants us to live with the convictions of the Holy Spirit that when we're making good decisions and right decisions and living for Him, that we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that I read a few minutes ago. So it's a picture of Christ. Jesus was love, He was joy, He was peace, He was patience, all of those things all wrapped up into one thing. Because see, He says, I am one, the Father is one, the body of Christ one. You see the picture that the Scriptures is painting for us this morning? That's where the Lord wants us in our life to portray the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's a self-examination, I would say. And you might ask yourself this, am I an emotionally balanced person? How many of you can say that you are an emotionally balanced person? I'm seeing a lot of grins and chuckles out there. And that's something we need to work on, isn't it? Do I have a tendency to worry a little bit? Or worry constantly? And see, guess what? That can be a sin in our life, can't it? So we need to work on that. Am I a moody person? You might say, only in the morning. How many of you are morning people? Night people. So if you're not a morning person, you could be a little moody, right? Doctor asked a wife one day, do you wake up grouchy in the morning? And she says, no, I let him sleep. So sometimes we are moody, aren't we? Sometimes, just a little bit. Am I mastered by moods rather than managing my moods? Do I get stressed? And we all can say that. So what I'm saying this morning, emotional balance is a combination of confidence and it's contentment. And I like when I read about Paul. So if I ever get kind of stressed out or elongated in my life, I like to read about Paul because here he is sometimes in prison. And he's not thinking about, oh, woe is me, but he's thinking about the people he's wanting to minister to. He's thinking about all the churches he has started. And he said, even in my state I'm in now, I find contentment in the Lord. So we don't find contentment in our distress and emotional distresses and hardships and sufferings and pains and anguishes and all of those things, but we find our strength and our joy in the Lord. And if you do that, then you ain't going to be moody. You're not going to be go around angry and depressed and all of that all the time. So if you are confident and contented, then you are emotionally stable in life. All right. The fifth thing, we need to have social balance. Here I'm talking about relationships. All of us have types of relationships, don't we? We need to have social balance. So you have everything right in your life, and if your relationships are not good, then life can be very unpleasant. It can be very unpleasant. You can be a millionaire. You can be popular. You can be well-known and successful. But if you've got people that you're at odds with, life is tough, so you need social balance in your life. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things. Condescendence to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conscience. Or, in other words, live in harmony with one another. That's what that verse is saying. Well, I'm thinking about fruit trees and things like that. Fruit can be a guide to character. People that have gone up to very high mountains say that they are able to determine their elevation by the production of the nature around them. And I don't know if you've ever been, well, you've been in Tennessee or out in the areas of where that they grow fruits and different things and a lower elevation as you go up. But people who have gone up to the high mountains say that they are able to determine their elevation by the production of nature around them. Fruit and flowers at the base, higher up, those of the moderate assortments, and then higher than that, still higher, those of freezing zones. So that's how our lives can be sometimes. Webster definition of the word balance is when all of the parts are in harmony. When all the areas of our life is in harmony, that's balance. And then one part of our, you know, the Bible speaks about that the body is one. There are many members in our bodies. There are many members in a church, but we're all one. But if one kind of gets out of character, the others suffer. So that's the fruit of the Spirit in our life. If one gets out, the others suffer tremendously. So when all of your relations are in harmony, you have social balance. Well, there's a story about a man who lived in Asia, and he was a servant. And he was told to go pick up this missionary and bring him to the area where he was going to be serving. And when he got to the train depot, he realized that this servant carried a pole on his shoulder. And that's how he carried luggage. And that's how he carried different things that he carried from place to place. So he took his pole with him. And when he got to the depot, he realized that the missionary only had one bag, and it was very heavy. So how was he going to balance that one bag? He didn't have anything to split it up. So he looked around and found a stone, and he compared the weight of the luggage versus the stone. So he rigged it up and put the stone on one side of the pole and the luggage on the other side. Therefore, he was carrying double weight, right? But it was all in balance. And sometimes, you know, that's the way our lives are. You know, when I take water to my chickens, I got a 5-gallon bucket. And if I carry one bucket of water, you know, you're looking at 40, 50 pounds right there, 8 pounds of water. 1 gallon weighs 8 pounds roughly, 5-gallon bucket. So you're looking at some weight there. So I always carry 2 buckets up to the house. And that way I'm going down the barn like that, still like this. And it throws your spine, everything out of kilter. It's harder, but you're in balance, the weight. So sometimes when we think about it, by carrying two, when it needed only one to have carry one, see, this man carried his weight and he was balanced. See, it's easier to carry two things than one, for they balance. A one-sided load is greater strain than a balanced burden, but it's easier for you in the long run. And that's why sometimes God puts a lot on our plate, because he knows that we can handle it. But if we're out of character, it is harder for us. It's a bigger burden. But with Christ helping us carry and work in all of these areas to keep them balanced in our life, see, we are stronger in him. See, balance helps teach us about God. Only he weighs the mountains in the balance. That's Isaiah 40:12-13. Only he can weigh the mountains in balance. You think about it. As huge as the mountains are, they're all in balance. And the life you balance will reveal your relationship to Christ. I want to say that again. The life that you balance will reveal your relationship to Christ. So if you're in balance, you're in a good relationship with Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in good relationship with one another. You think about that. Because everything either works off a vertical plane or horizontal plane. And if we work off the vertical plane, our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be really good, isn't it? If we will concentrate on that and have that balance, then everything on the level plane is going to work out, and that's our relationship with one another, our relationship with the world. And God wants that balance in all of our lives. But first of all, it has to be balanced with him, and then everything else will work out on the level plane with one another. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We know that we need to live balanced lives. And all those areas we talked about this morning, I pray that we'll pray about those things and think about them to realize that our bodies are the temple of God. And we need to be striving and working with all our heart, soul, and mind to please you, to be worthy to be your servants. Because you think of us highly, because you sent your son Jesus Christ into the world to save us. And now we are to live for you, to be living examples of Christ, who portray all the fruit of the Spirit. And he lived them all out, which was one in spirit, mind, and truth. Help us, Lord, this day to consider and be motivated by your Spirit to do better, to keep balanced lives, to make you a priority. And not just when we think about you on occasion, but every day of our life, may we place you at the top of our list of priorities. For anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, that is a spiritual need to be forgiven of our sins, to be cleansed, to be set free from the darkness of sin. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit have the freedom to search each one of our hearts. May they be open, and may you fill them with your goodness and mercy. Cleanse us, each one of us here. May we not be afraid to, ashamed, as Paul would say, not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of salvation. It can cleanse us from all sin. Anyone here that doesn't have a church home and is looking for a church home, we just pray that you give each and every one here clearly what your will is, where you would have them to serve. Lord, we all are serving you. We thank you for Sales Baptist Church and for the impact that this church has in the community, the willingness to reach out, loving people with caring hearts. Take this invitation, Lord. It's your invitation. May we give freely back to you what you've given us, that we might continue to glorify you in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 493, "It Is Well With My Soul." May we stand as we sing. Man who